Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The birth of Christ is sometimes called the Christmas story. In the minds of many people, the two are synonymous. But from the biblical view, they're not the same, and some facts worthy of consideration must be noted. We do not know exactly the day, the month, or the year that Jesus was born, although we can approximate within certain limits. We do have evidence that it was not during the time of year that many celebrate his birth. The Bible does not authorize any celebration of the birth of Christ, however. We observe religious ceremonies that God approves, and when we do, we need biblical authority, or we become guilty of adding to the revealed Word of God, which is prohibited. For these reasons, faithful and knowledgeable Christians do not commemorate Christmas as the birth of Christ, nor celebrate any other so-called religious holy day that has come into existence by the authority of men. Now, none should object to attention being given to his birth any time. Rather, we are glad that people want to have recognition of his birth, but would emphatically contend that all must be kept within the realm of what is authorized of God. We're glad that our nation has a day called Thanksgiving Day, when attention is focused upon being grateful to God for the blessings we receive from Him. But to consider a special religious holy day is to go beyond what is written. Unfortunately, only on these special days do some people ever give God any attention at all. Some do not even do so even then, but use the days for additional degenerate conduct. And the season called Christmas has become more of a commercial enterprise and an excuse for indulgence, a time of revelry and sinful conduct, rather than a glorification of Jesus Christ and a recognition of his birth. During the season alleged to remember Christ, there is the desecration of much that is sacred and holy, and the will of Christ is openly defied. But the Lord's physical birth was a tremendous event. The spirit of giving that is observed during the Christmas season is commendable and worthy of encouragement. But we must seek to proclaim the Lord all year long and not just during certain seasons. We must admit it is refreshing to hear the songs of Christ amidst the noise of atheism and materialism and worldliness that even denies the birth of Christ by the Virgin Mary. With war, immorality, greed, and crime and hatred abounding all around us, songs and words concerning Christ, when they are accurate, provide a brief and welcome respite from such evil. Well, in this lesson, we wish to emphasize the birth of Christ as a supernatural event that it was, and how it affirms the eternal nature of Christ and his deity. His birth is a historical event noted by both secular and sacred history, and stands as a part of the eternal sequence of events God has designed. Christ existed before his birth as Jesus in Bethlehem. In John 17 and verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." In John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Now this Word is identified as God's only begotten Son in verse 14. His birth was a giant step in God's plan for man's redemption. Galatians 4:4 teaches he was born of a woman, thereby becoming human as well as deity. Many passages assert this fundamental truth regarding the nature of Jesus Christ. The historicity of his birth is attested by such an overwhelming mass of evidence that it is beyond a refutation. It was a supernatural event in a natural setting. In Luke chapter 2:4-7, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now what could be more natural, even though it was not usually what was expected at the time of one's birth? Nothing miraculous is in evidence in the place of birth, except it was prophesied that Bethlehem would be the place. But the supernatural was soon to be very much in evidence in addition to the miraculous conception that had earlier occurred. There was the star that was seen by the wise men, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Then the angelic host sang his praises in Luke chapter 2. There was the revelation that a Savior was born in Luke 2 and verse 11. The setting was earthly, but the event was miraculously announced as it was the result of a miraculous conception. Here was a supernatural event with supernatural distinctions and supernatural markings. When we deal with the birth of Christ, we're dealing not only with certain physical events that transpired, but with a spiritual truth that often cannot be reduced to terms that would be accepted by those of a degenerate and materialistic and finite mind who want to force even these things into the naturalistic mold. No, friend, the birth of Christ is predominantly miraculous, from the announcement to Mary to people coming to worship him in the stable. It is the event when God became flesh, the incarnation. Such is not a mere theological concept or theological doctrine, but a fact to be accepted by faith on the basis of the evidence and the testimony of Scripture regarding it. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ is the way that God has provided for mankind to be able to meet God favorably and to be reconciled to him. Access to God is through the person of his Son. It is not an irrational idea, therefore, for deity to assume the nature of flesh. It would be strange if his birth had been anything other than a supernatural and a miraculous event. The reality of the birth of Jesus by a virgin is an integral part of New Testament Christianity, just as his resurrection from the dead. There can be no acceptance of Christ without the acceptance of both events. There can be no acceptance of Scripture without the acceptance of what Scripture teaches concerning Christ, including his birth by a virgin, as well as his resurrection. There is hopeless inconsistency in that part of so-called Christendom that would say that they accept Christ, but reject as truth either the record of his birth or his resurrection. His birth by the Virgin was the first of a long series of supernatural events surrounding him. His perfection, his powers, his authority, his teaching, his atoning death, his victory over death, his ascension to the Father, they are all evidences of the same basic truth, namely, Jesus is God's Son, deity in the flesh. To deny any one of these things about Christ is to make oneself antichrist. His birth brought hope never before presented to mankind. Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Of this Peter preached, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14 and 6. The birth of Jesus was a supernatural event with immeasurable effects. No man can exhaust the implications of his birth. Profound, yet so simple, this beautiful record thrills the heart of every person, even the heart of a child that hears it. It causes the wise to wonder and the child to love. The effects of his birth are varied. He came not to bring peace, but a sword, Matthew 10 and verse 34. Now the peace that he did bring was peace between man and God, not necessarily peace between men and their fellow men. Such cannot be expected, since some reject the Christ that brings peace. From the very start of his life he was controversial, a target of enemies of truth, a victim of evil, but God's Son, and the proclaimer of righteousness and salvation. In many ways he brought not unity but separation, because some would become the children of God and others would choose to remain the children of the devil. But he did bring the way to reestablish peace with God for all who would follow in his steps. One effect of his birth is seen in Christ changing the lives of people. Sinners are made saints by him. Hatred is changed into love when his way is followed. Spiritual death is changed into spiritual life. No other can produce such effects as these except the Son of God. He also produced a fellowship that transcends racial and cultural and national boundaries. He brought into being a kingdom of God, which is his church, which includes people of every tongue and background and race who will respect him and work his righteousness, Acts 10:34-35. He brought humanity into oneness with deity. The birth of the Lord Jesus, proving his deity, is at the foundation and the cornerstone of the gospel, God's power to save mankind. And in sharp contrast to the effects of Christ in this world, what has atheism ever produced that is beneficial to mankind? Can there be named even one benefit? Oh yes, some atheists have produced benefit to others, but not because of atheism, but in spite of it. What can those who would destroy the dignity of man and the standard of morality and the basis of civilization ever offer anyone? The birth of Christ brought rejoicing to many as it struck terror and fear in the hearts of others. Here was the fulfillment of the promises and the prophecies given years before as God moved into our world among men in a way and in a measure never before known. Bethlehem is the place where the eternal became temporal, where the Creator became as the creature, where God became man, even as he remained God. In the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ, God accomplished something that never can be equated, surpassed, or repeated. On our own planet, God became man's friend and neighbor, our Savior and protector. And while we would not wish to go beyond the authority of God's Word to commemorate a day or a season or turn it into some kind of religious celebration of this miraculous event, we, as believers of truth, we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, as John 3 teaches. Shame on those, even those among us who would like to be considered scholarly, who would remove God's revelation that declares Jesus as his only begotten Son. But we would encourage all men everywhere to turn their attentions to the biblical record of his birth and believe what is written. Let the true significance of his birth direct us into recognition of our duty to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We would rally all mankind during the Christmas season and all throughout the year to renew their determination to withstand the blasphemous onslaughts of the skeptic and work that the truth of God's Word will not perish from the hearts and the lives of all generations. And finally, seeing his birth to be miraculous, how many of us see the importance of our relationship with him? Being God's Son, only through him can we escape hell and enjoy heaven. Because of his birth and the nature of it, along with the manifold evidences given in God's Word concerning him, we urge one and all to be Christians, seek his forgiveness, become God's spiritual child in his church through faith, repentance, confession of faith that Jesus is God's Son, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. This is where we reach his saving blood. This is when we reach the benefits of this supernatural event of Jesus born in Bethlehem. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.